Chapter 10, Power Tools and Shop Equipment. Air Compressor. A shop air compressor is usually located in a separate room or an area away from the customer area of a shop. An air compressor is powered by a 220-volt AC electric motor and includes a storage tank and the compressor itself, as well as the pressure switches, which are used to maintain a certain minimum level of air pressure in the system. The larger the storage tank, expressed in gallons, the longer an air tool can be operated in the shop without having the compressor start operating. See Figure 10.1. Safe use of compressed air. Air under pressure can create dangerous situations. For example, an object, such as a small piece of dirt, could be forced out of an air hose blowgun with enough force to cause serious personal injury. All OSHA-approved air nozzles have air vents drilled around the outside of the main discharge hole to help reduce the force of the air blast. Also, the air pressure used by an air nozzle, blowgun, must be kept to 30 psi, 207 kPa, or less. See Figure 102. Refer to Figure 10.1, a typical shop compressor. It is usually placed out of the way, yet accessible to provide for maintenance to the unit. Refer to Figure 10.2, always use an air nozzle that is OSHA approved. The openings in the side are used to allow air to escape if the nozzle tip were to become clogged. Refer to Figure 10.3, a typical half-inch drive impact wrench. Refer to Figure 10.4, this impact wrench features a variable torque setting using a rotary knob. The direction of rotation can be changed by pressing the buttons at the bottom. Air and electrically operated tools. Impact wrench. An impact wrench, either air or pneumatic, or electrically powered, is a tool that is used to remove and install fasteners. The air-operated half-inch drive impact wrench is the most commonly used unit. See Figure 10.3. The direction of rotation is controlled by a switch. See Figure 10.4. Electrically powered impact wrenches commonly include battery-powered units. See Figure 10.5. 110-volt AC-powered units. This type of impact wrench is very useful, especially if compressed air is not readily available. Caution: always use impact sockets with impact wrenches, and be sure to wear eye protection in case the socket or fastener shatters. Impact sockets are thicker walled and constructed with premium alloy steel. They are hardened with a black oxide finish to help prevent corrosion and distinguish them from regular sockets. See Figure 10.6. Refer to Figure 10.5, a typical battery-powered half-inch drive impact wrench. Refer to Figure 10.6, a black impact socket. Always use impact-type sockets whenever using an impact wrench to avoid the possibility of shattering the socket, which can cause personal injury. Air ratchet. An air ratchet is used to remove and install fasteners that would normally be removed or installed using a ratchet and a socket. An air ratchet is much faster, but has an air hose attached, which reduces accessibility to certain places. See Figure 10.7. Die grinder. A die grinder is a commonly used air-powered tool, which can also be used to sand or remove gaskets and rust. See Figure 10.8. Air drill. An air drill is a drill that rotates faster than electric drills up to 20,000 RPM. Air drills are commonly used in auto body work when many holes need to be drilled for plug welding. Refer to Figure 10.7. An air ratchet is a very useful tool that allows fast removal and installation of fasteners, especially in areas that are difficult to reach or do not have room enough to move a hand ratchet wrench. Case study. The case of the rusty air impact wrench is in one busy shop. It was noticed by several technicians that water was being pumped through the air compressor lines and out of the vents of air impact wrenches whenever they were used. It is normal for moisture in the air to condense in the air storage tank of an air compressor. One of the routine service procedures is to drain the water from the air compressor. The water had been drained regularly from the air compressor at the rear of the shop, but the problem continued. Then someone remembered that there was a second air compressor mounted over the parts department. No one could remember ever draining the tank from that compressor. After that tank was drained, the problem of water in the lines was solved. Summary. Complaint: water was found in the air lines in the shop. Cause: water was found in the second compressor above the parts department. Correction: the service manager assigned a person to drain water from both compressors every day. The water problem was solved. Air blowgun. An air blowgun is used to clean equipment and other purposes where a stream of air would be needed. Automotive air blowguns should meet OSHA requirements and include passages to allow air to escape outward at the nozzle, thereby relieving pressure if the nozzle were to become blocked. Air-operated grease gun. An air-operated grease gun uses shop air to operate a plunger, which then applies a force to the grease cartridge. Most air-operated grease guns use a 1/4-inch air inlet and operate on 90 psi of air pressure. Battery-powered grease gun. Battery-powered grease guns are more expensive than air-operated grease guns but offer the convenience of not having an air hose attached, making use easier. Many use rechargeable 14 to 18 volt batteries and use standard grease cartridges. Figure 10.8. This typical die grinder surface preparation kit includes the air-operated die grinder, as well as a variety of sanding discs for smoothing surfaces or removing rust. Trouble lights. Incandescent. Incandescent lights use a filament that produces light when electric current flows through the bulb. This was the standard trouble light, also called a work light for many years until safety issues caused most shops to switch to safer fluorescent or LED lights. If incandescent light bulbs are used, try to locate bulbs that are rated rough service, which is designed to withstand shock and vibration more than conventional light bulbs. Fluorescent, a trouble light is an essential piece of shop equipment, and for safety, should be fluorescent rather than incandescent. Incandescent light bulbs can scatter or break if gasoline were to be splashed onto the bulb, creating a serious fire hazard. Fluorescent light tubes are not as likely to be broken and are usually protected by a clear plastic enclosure. Trouble lights are usually attached to a retractor, which can hold 20 to 50 feet of electrical cord. LED trouble light, a light-emitting diode, or LED, trouble lights are excellent to use because they are shock-resistant, long-lasting, and do not represent a fire hazard. Some trouble lights are battery-powered and therefore can be used in places where an attached electrical cord could present problems. Refer to Figure 10.9, a battery-powered LED trouble light. Warning. Do not use incandescent trouble lights around gasoline or other flammable liquids. The liquids can cause the bulb to break and the hot filament can ignite the flammable liquid. Bench or pedestal grinder. A grinder can be mounted on a workbench or on a standalone pedestal. Benched or pedestal-mounted grinder, these high-powered grinders can be equipped with a wire brush wheel and/or a stone wheel. A wire brush wheel is used to clean steel or sheet metal parts. A stone wheel is used to grind metal or to remove the mushroom from the top of punches or chisels. See Figure 10.10. Caution: always wear a face shield when using a wire wheel or a grinder. Also keep the part support ledge, table, also called a throat plate, within 1/16 inch, 2 millimeters, of the stone. Most bench grinders are equipped with a grinding wheel or stone on one side and a wire brush wheel on the other side. A bench grinder is a very useful piece of shop equipment and the wire wheel end can be used for the following. Cleaning threads of bolts. Cleaning gaskets from sheet metal parts, such as steel valve covers. Caution: use a steel wire brush only on steel or iron components. If a steel wire brush is used on aluminum or copper-based metal parts, it can remove metal from the part. The grinding stone end of the bench grinder can be used for the following. Sharpening blades and drill bits. Grinding off the heads of rivets or parts. Sharpening sheet metal parts for custom fitting. Refer to Figure 10.10, a typical pedestal grinder with a wire wheel on the left side and a stone wheel on the right side. Even though this machine is equipped with guards, safety glasses or a face shield should always be worn when using a grinder or wire wheel. Bench vise. A bench vise is used to hold components so that work can be performed on the unit. The size of a vise is determined by the width of the jaws. Two common sizes of vises are 4-inch and 6-inch models. The jaws of most vises are serrated and can cause damage to some components unless protected. Many types of protection can be used, including aluminum or copper jaw covers or by simply placing wood between the vise jaws and the component being held. See Figure 10.11. Safe use of vises. The jaws of vises can cause damage to the part or component being held. Use pieces of wood or other soft material between the steel jaws and the workpiece to help avoid causing damage. Many vises are sold with optional aluminum jaw covers. When finished using a vise, be sure to close the jaws and place the handle straight up and down to help avoid personal injury to anyone walking near the vise. Refer to Figure 10.11, a typical vise mounted to a workbench. Refer to Figure 10.12, a hydraulic press is usually used to press bearings on and off of rear axles and transmissions. Hydraulic presses. Hydraulic presses are hand-operated hydraulic cylinders mounted to a stand and designed to press bearings on or off of shafts, as well as other components. To press off a bearing, a unit called a bearing splitter is often required to apply force to the inner race of a bearing. Hydraulic presses use a pressure gauge to show the pressure being applied. Always follow the operating instructions supplied by the manufacturer of the hydraulic press. See Figure 10.12. Portable crane and chain hoist. A portable crane is used to remove and install engines and other heavy vehicle components. Most portable cranes use a hand-operated hydraulic cylinder to raise and lower a boom that is equipped with a nylon strap or steel chain. At the end of the strap or chain is a steel hook that is used to attach around a bracket or auxiliary lifting device. See Figure 10-13. Safe use of portable cranes. Always be sure to attach the hooks of the portable crane to a secure location on the unit being lifted. The hook should also be attached to the center of the weight of the object so it can be lifted straight up without tilting. Refer to Figure 10-13, a typical portable crane used to lift and move heavy assemblies, such as engines and transmissions. Tech tip: cover work while pressing. Whenever pressing on a bearing or other component, use an old brake drum over the shaft and the bearing. In the event the bearing shatters during the pressing operation, the brake drum will prevent the parts of the bearing from flying outward where they could cause serious personal injury. Caution: always keep feet and other body parts out from underneath the engine or unit being lifted. Always work around a portable crane as if the chain or strap could break at any time. Engine stands. An engine stand is designed to safely hold an engine and to allow it to be rotated. This allows the technician to easily remove, install, and perform service work to the engine. See Figure 10-14. Most engine stands are constructed of steel and supported by four casters to allow easy movement. There are two basic places where an engine stand attaches to the engine, depending on the size of the engine. For most engines and stands, the retaining bolts attach to the same location as the bell housing at the rear of the engine. On larger engines, such as the 5.9 Cummins inline six-cylinder diesel engine, the engine mounts to the stand using the engine mounting holes in the block. See Figure 10-15. Refer to Figure 10-14, two engines on engine stands. The plastic bags over the engines help keep dirt from getting onto these engines and engine parts. Refer to Figure 10-15, an engine stand that grasps the engine from the sides rather than the end. Safe operation of an engine stand. When mounting an engine to an engine stand, be sure that the engine is being supported by a portable crane. Be sure the attaching bolts are grade 5 or 8 and the same thread size as the threaded holes in the block. Check that there is at least 1/2 inch or 13 millimeters of bolt thread engaged in the threaded holes in the engine block. Be sure that all attaching bolts are securely tightened before releasing the weight of the engine from the crane. Use caution when loosening the rotation retaining bolts because the engine could rotate rapidly, causing personal injury. All shop equipment should be maintained in safe working order. Maintenance of shop equipment usually includes the following operations or procedures. Keep equipment clean. Dirt and grime can attract and hold moisture, which can lead to rust and corrosion. Oil or grease can attract dirt. Keep equipment lubricated. While many bearings are sealed and do not require lubrication, always check the instructions for the use of the equipment for suggested lubrication and other service procedures. Caution: always follow the instructions from the equipment manufacturer regarding proper use and care of the equipment. Step-by-step setup and lighting a torch cutting metal. Step 1. Inspect the card and make sure the tanks are chained properly before moving it to the work location. Step 2. Start by attaching the appropriate work tip to the torch handle. The fitting should only be tightened hand tight. Make sure the valves on the torch handle are closed at this time. Step 3. Each tank has a regulator assembly with two gauges. The high pressure gauge shows tank pressure, and the low pressure gauge indicates working pressure. Step 4. Open the oxygen tank valve fully open, and open the acetylene tank valve half turn. Step 5. Open the oxygen valve on the torch handle 1/4 turn in preparation for adjusting oxygen gas pressure. Step 6. Turn the oxygen regulator valve clockwise and adjust oxygen gas pressure to 20 psi. Close the oxygen valve on the torch handle. Step 7. Open the acetylene valve on the torch handle 1/4 turn and adjust acetylene gas pressure to 7 psi. Close the acetylene valve on the torch handle. Step 8. Open the oxygen valve on the torch handle 1/4 turn and use an appropriate size tip cleaner to clean the tip orifice. Finish by closing the oxygen valve. Step 9. Put on leather gloves and open the acetylene valve on the torch handle 1/4 turn. Use a flint striker to ignite the acetylene gas exiting the torch tip. Step 10. Adjust the acetylene valve until the base of the flame just touches the torch tip. Slowly open the oxygen valve on the torch handle and adjust for a neutral flame or blue cone is well defined. Step 11. Once work is complete, extinguish the flame by quickly closing the acetylene valve on the torch handle. Be prepared to hear a loud pop when the flame goes out. Close the oxygen valve on the torch handle. Step 12. Close the valves on both tanks and turn the regulator handles counterclockwise until they no longer contact the internal springs. Open the gas valves briefly on the torch handle to release gas pressure from the hoses. Close the gas valves on the torch handle and put away the torch assembly. Step 13. Heating attachments include ordinary heating tips, middle and right, and a rosebud, left. Ordinary heating tips work fine for most purposes, but occasionally the rosebud is utilized when a great deal of heat is needed. Step 14. Note that while acetylene tank pressures are relatively low, the oxygen tank can be filled to over 2000 psi. This can represent a serious hazard if precautions are not taken. Be absolutely certain that the tanks are chained properly to the cart before attempting to move them. Step 15. Anytime heating or cutting operations are being performed, be sure that any flammables have been removed from the immediate area. A fire blanket may be placed over floor drains or other objects to prevent fires. A fire extinguisher should be on hand in case of an emergency. Step 16. Be sure to wear appropriate personal protective equipment during heating and cutting operations. Step 17. Note that heating operations should be performed over steel or fire brick. Never heat or cut steel close to concrete, as it could cause the concrete to explode. Step 18. When heating steel, move the torch in a circular pattern to prevent melting of the metal. Don't hold the torch too close to the work, as this will cause a snapping or backfire that can extinguish the flame. Step 19. Affix the cutting attachment to the torch handle. Note that the cutting attachment has a cutting handle and a separate oxygen valve. Step 20. Fully open the oxygen valve on the torch handle. Oxygen flow will now be controlled with the valve on the cutting attachment. Step 21. Oxygen gas pressure should be adjusted to 30 psi whenever using the cutting attachment. Acetylene pressure is kept at 7 psi. Step 22. Open the acetylene valve on the torch handle 1/4 turn and light the torch. Adjust the flame until its base just touches the cutting tip. Slowly open the oxygen valve on the cutting attachment and adjust the flame until the blue cone is well defined. Step 23. Direct the flame onto a thin spot or sharp edge of the metal to be cut. This will build the heat quicker in order to get the cut started. Step 24. When the metal glows red, depress the cutting handle and move the torch to advance the cut. You will need to move the torch faster when cutting thinner pieces of steel. On thicker pieces, point the cutting tip into the direction of the cut. Review questions. Question 1. List the tools used by service technicians that use compressed air. Question 2. Which trouble light designs are the recommended type for maximum safety? Question 3. What safety precautions should be adhered to when working with a vise? Question 4. When using a blowgun, what precautions need to be taken? Question 5. How is the size of a vise determined? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. When using compressed air and a blowgun, what is the maximum allowable air pressure? A. 10 psi. B. 20 psi. C. 30 psi. D. 40 psi. Question 2. Which air impact drive size is the most commonly used? A. 1/4 inch. B. 3/8 inch. C. 1/2 inch. D. 3/4 inch. Question 3. What type of socket should be used with an air impact wrench? A. Black. B. Chrome. C. 12 point. D. Either A or B. Question 4. What can be used to cover the jaws of a vise to help protect the object being held? A. Aluminum. B. Wood. C. Copper. D. All of the above. Question 5. Technician A says that impact sockets have thicker walls than conventional sockets. Technician B says that impact sockets have a black oxide finish. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 6. Two technicians are discussing the use of a typical bench or pedestal mounted grinder. Technician A says that a wire brush wheel can be used to clean threads. Technician B says that the grinding stone can be used to clean threads. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 7. An hydraulic press is used with A. blank to remove a bearing from a shaft. A. Hammer. B. Torch. C. Bearing splitter. D. Bearing driver. Question 8. Which type of trouble light is recommended for use in the shop? A. Incandescent. B. Fluorescent. C. LED. D. Either B or C. Question 9. When mounting an engine to an engine stand, what grade of bolt should be used? A. 5 or 8. B. 4 or 7. C. 3 or 5. D. 1 or 4. Question 10. Proper care of shop equipment includes blank. A. Tuning up every 6 months. B. Keeping equipment clean. C. Keeping equipment lubricated. D. Both B and C. End of chapter 10.